What do you need, son?
Need to bore your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
Verify our range to target. One ping only.
What's the range now?
200 miles, sir.
They break 150 miles, launch the alert 5 aircraft.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? You're slowing down!
I'm bringing them in closer, Merlin.
You're gonna do what?
I got a good lock. Firing.
Yes, it is our series, Meet Your Tenant Commands, the project born in my imagination and recognition that most people, even the ones who love and are fairly well informed about the military in Escambia and Santa Rosa County, have literally no idea about what takes place on our two bases and our various installations. And this today is going to be another example of that. Meet Your Tenant Commands is brought to you by Warrior Beer Company on Sorrento Road. We've got your six. Joining me in studio today, I have Captain Scott Kuhn. He is the commanding officer of Naval Hospital Pensacola. Captain, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Let's start with this. You have no call sign.
I do not.
You're the first one to not have a call sign because you're not in?
You're not an aviator. I'm not a pilot.
There you go. So you're not in that community, so you're our first non-call sign guest for this whole series. Second thing is, and this is, again, my own learning about this, you are a member of the Medical Service Corps.
I am.
And is that a part of the Navy? Is that separate from the Navy? Are you in the Navy or not in the Navy?
So I am in the Navy. So The Navy actually has, within the Staff Corps, which is not the line officers, there are staff officers. So you'll end up with engineers, you end up with supply officers, JAG Corps officers. And you have the medical department, which is made up of four corps: nurse corps, medical corps, medical service corps, and the dental corps.
Okay, so you are in the Navy. You have been for quite some time. Your wife is also in the Navy, right? She's also in the medical service corps.
Yes, she is.
That's kind of cool. In the family, you're both doing that. So, Naval Hospital Pensacola. Let's just start with like sort of bare bones basics. Naval Hospital Pensacola serves whom?
So, Naval Hospital Pensacola serves a roughly 125,000 beneficiaries across five states, to include Indiana, Tennessee, Mississippi, New Orleans, and here in Florida.
Okay, 125,000 patients are considered your care because they're in the military and they get TRICARE.
So they are, sorry to interrupt, they are either, they're beneficiaries, and our beneficiaries are retirees and their dependents.
20 years retired. Okay.
Yes. Or medic,
or injured or whatever, but not veterans. Only veterans is the VA. Okay,
yes.
Go on.
So retired beneficiaries, their dependents, active duty, and their dependents. And that's 125,000 people that fall within our catchment area.
And just so people kind of get the perspective, that the command that you have oversees that sprawling network of healthcare offices, clinics, and of course hospitals. Are there other hospitals besides Naval Hospital Pensacola?
So within our network, there is only Naval Hospital Pensacola. Okay. And interestingly, in 2017, we shut down our beds. So by name, we are a hospital, but we are actually an ambulatory outpatient clinic that does ambulatory surgeries at this time.
So people who are in the military or their spouses and family, or as you say, retirees, they come to you for healthcare. You're the primary care for them.
Yes.
And then if they need, for example, a surgery, what happens?
So if it's a surgery that will be, a lot of surgeries nowadays are outpatient surgeries. You come in, you do your surgery, you go, you recover for 8-9 hours, and then you head home.
Okay.
We do those surgeries for the majority of those. If you are going to need to be out in town, or you're very high risk, you have heart issues, you're way overweight, you have asthma, things that are a higher risk, we will probably have you do that surgery out in town because we just don't have the capabilities if things went wrong to take care of you.
And ER?
So right now we don't have an ER, but we are in collaboration in talks with the VA to maybe do a joint ER.
Okay. And the VA is right next door. I mean, literally next door.
Yes.
And this might help people to understand, because I know it was a long learning curve for me to get all of this. And again, having not been in the military, but what is the difference between what the VA does and what you do at the Naval Hospital?
So for us, our patients are slightly different than theirs. Our patients are going to be individuals who have either medically retired or been retired from active duty service,
okay,
or are currently on active duty, and the dependents of those, okay, individuals. The Veterans Administration, if you were on active duty and you were injured and you have a service-related injury, the Veterans Administration will potentially take care of you for that injury for the rest of your life if needed.
Okay.
The Veterans Administration also looks at us when we are retiring to determine what was service related. What injuries do you have that the government has now bought, mm-hmm, and is going to take care of for the rest of your life? So the Veterans Administration, and it's more complicated, obviously, than what I'm saying it, but it really is if you've retired from the military or you're in the military, we're primarily going to take care of you. If you were injured and you're no longer in the military and you didn't retire, the VA will take care of you. Some people get both.
Yeah. And you guys have recently been partnering with them, because since you're not operating, you're not using all of your capacity that you have for your what you have in the hospital, because it's not really functioning as a hospital the way it used to. You're letting them use like your operating rooms for like their doctors come and perform in your ORs, right?
So,
or do I have that wrong?
You are partially correct.
Okay,
and I know I'm being very specific.
That's
here.
Fine.
What we are doing is we are actually giving them the space. They are a subtenant of us.
Okay.
And they own that space. So they're not borrowing my ORs, they're their ORs.
Oh, okay.
And we're doing the same thing for a 12-bed ward. We're in right now in the midst of going out and getting contracts and projects. And the hope is that the VA will have a 12-bed ward within the next 2 to 3 years, and we will collaborate with them to put some of our patients in there. That'll allow us to do a higher acuity, a higher level of surgeries as well. So over the next few years, us and the VA, the Naval Hospital Pensacola and the VA, will help to make it a hospital again.
Okay. And I'm gonna say this wrong, and then you're gonna correct me on how it's wrong. But since it's, as you say, not really in what people would think of as a hospital anymore, I think of it as sort of like a medical complex that you would go to, like a doctor's office with a variety of doctors who then will send you elsewhere for specialty care that they don't provide, or might send you to Sacred or West Florida or Baptist for, you know, whatever it is that they might have that you guys just don't perform on in the facility. Do I have it basically right?
Yes, you have it correct. We're going to be your primary care provider.
Okay.
We do have a few specialties, and I won't go into all of them.
Sure.
But, you know, we still have cardiology. We can't do cardiatric surgeries or things, but we have a cardiologist who can do the workups, a pulmonologist, we have ophthalmology, so some of those specialties. So we still have those. We have X-ray, we have an MRI, a CT scan.
The people who work for you are civilians, are Navy, are some Air Force, are both? You tell me.
So I have a combination of really three categories of individuals who work for me. We do have active duty service member in uniform.
Okay.
That could be Navy, Army, or Air Force. It's primarily Navy. Right now we have a couple of Air Force that come over and are assisting us, but they're not actually assigned to me. And then I have government service employees, the GS employees, and then we have contract employees.
Okay. And even though, again, just to kind of be clear about all this, even though it's Naval Hospital Pensacola, you don't only service naval personnel.
No, we will take care of, like, currently we have Army, Air Force, and Navy personnel who are here. Retirees, it doesn't matter if you retired from a service. Even Coast Guard, we take care of Coast Guard as well. There are a lot of foreign military here. I don't know that everybody realizes that. The air station has...
What, like Netzafa with the training?
Yes.
The folks that do training on board ANS Pensacola? Okay.
Yeah, and so we're contracted to... I guess we have agreements to take care of a lot of the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, and other foreign nationals as well.
And it didn't always used to be that the services all cooperated this way. Am I right? Like the Defense Health Agency has been this kind of transitional thing to bring all that more in a coherent way. Like, why do we need to be separated? Do I have that right?
Yeah, I think all three services, and I'm going to leave the Marines out. They might get upset at that. And why I say all three services, for me, the Marines do fall under the Department of the Navy.
Okay.
But it is the Navy Medicine, who takes care of the Marines.
Got it.
And so as I talk, I don't want to offend anybody, especially my retired Marines.
Right.
There are three services, Navy, Army, and Air Force, that have their medical commands. All three of us have specific missions that are slightly different. Being on a ship is going to be different than being up in an airplane.
Sure.
It just is. So the services still have their missions, still have their platforms that they will use to go to war. But the facilities, the brick-and-mortar facilities, Congress decided that they wanted one organization to control all three services' facilities where everybody does patient care, so there would be more standardization. Mm-hmm. So that if I was transferred to Texas, the care I got in Texas, the policies, the way it happened would be the same as here in Pensacola.
The network of healthcare provision would be consistent throughout all the services.
Yes. So currently I have two bosses. I actually report directly to a one-star, my immediate superior in charge, who's at Naval Medical Forces Atlantic.
Okay.
And he is my Navy Admiral, my boss from the Navy side. On the DHA side, he just happens to be the same person,
Which
is fortunate for
convenient,
me.
Convenient, yeah.
Yeah, but he is, in that hat, he is Defense Health Network Atlantic.
Okay.
And so from the day-to-day operations of the hospital, I report to him through DHA to talk about what's happening in the hospital. From the Navy personnel deployments and what we are doing for mission readiness, I go up through the other chain.
Very good. Now, let's talk just a little bit, because the history of Naval Hospital of Pensacola is kind of interesting. People might think, well, that's a fairly new building. So we've only had a Naval Hospital of Pensacola for, 20 or 30 years. But the history of Naval Hospital of Pensacola goes back more than a century, right?
Yes.
And in fact, the buildings used to be, the buildings that were on board NAS Pensacola, this is now the sixth, am I right?
I believe you are correct. Sixth or seventh. Sixth, I'll believe it's sixth.
Yeah, and so buildings previously on board the base, this is the first time that the hospital was built outside the base perimeter, right?
It is.
And like some of the prior buildings, I think Naval Education Training Command, NETSI, the two-star admiral in residence here at NAS Pensacola, actually lives in what used to be, or that is housed in, the headquarters for NETSI is one of the former naval hospitals.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a fast, and some of them, they say, are haunted. Some of the older buildings, they say, are haunted. I won't ask you as a medical professional,
I will share with you that I have never gone to a command with a older building that everybody doesn't say is haunted. I've never had a spiritual experience within the hospital that I would say is a ghost or anything myself, but there's lots of people that
there's
people that have stories about the building we're in currently.
Oh, okay. All right. And it's relatively new, which is, I think, 2001 vintage is when the new building was.
1972.
Oh, the current one is 1972. Okay. The new facility was added in 2001. That's right.
So an annex. I apologize. I kind of.
No, it's okay.
The hospital itself was built in 1972, and then in 2001, we built the annex, which is the ambulatory care where the pharmacy is at.
Got it. And then just kind of the last thing is that I thought this was interesting from your online stuff, is that you deploy things like the Fleet Hospital, which will go service as a ship-based hospital system of some kind, or?
So we're actually in the midst of changing our platforms is what we call them now. So
okay.
The fleet hospitals, the FFRSs.
Because we all saw the medical ships that were operating during COVID, for example. And
so,
I didn't know if this was something like that or.
So what it is when we go deploy, we will take a hospital and it's called an expeditionary medical facility.
Okay.
And we will forward deploy that. So it will go, it could go and be on a ship. It could go and. Parts of it could be on a ship.
Okay.
It can take a huge, huge, depending on how it's broken out, how much you take with you. So they are roughly 160 people currently. They used to be closer to 350 people.
Okay.
So you can size them. It's changing.
I think we all know the history of MASH and Army Surgical Hospital. I think of this being the sort of the Navy alternative or variant on that.
It is the Navy variant.
Okay. All right. Very good. Anything else you want to let people know before we let you go? Just kind of, I don't know, things that people might not understand or just, what makes Naval Hospital Pensacola distinct? Because for me, it was, I hadn't even been thinking about having the hospital on. I wasn't even thinking about that in the context of any of Pensacola Whiting Field. And then I bumped into Marcus, your PAO, and he's like, definitely. I'm like, oh, yeah, we really should. So it's a very significant presence.
I really appreciate Marcus, and I'll give Marcus a shout-out just because he's here. I was supposed to give my daughter Bobby a shout-out.
All right, well done.
So there is one thing, and I want to make sure I say this right. One of the things that I think is very frustrating for our patients is access to care, being able to get onto the facility. But at the same time, they're not helping me. And what I mean by that is my no-show rate, where you call in and you get an appointment. And mind you, I'm just doctors alone. I'm not going to talk PAs and nurse practitioners. Okay. Doctors alone, I should have 12 doctors attached to me right now.
Okay.
I have 6. And the reason being, there's various reasons. Some of that is hard to recruit in the Navy. Some of it is just you can't find doctors in the civilian world even right now. But if I've only got 6 doctors and they can only do 100 patients a week, that's 600 patients. If you schedule an appointment and you don't come, I'm already having difficulty with access. So what I'm going to ask the listeners is, if you schedule an appointment, please come, or please let us know you can't come so we can make that available to somebody else. Right now, our no-show rate's closer to 16%, you know, out of 100. That's 16 people.
That's a full doctor's worth that people are taking out of commission every week because they're not showing.
Exactly. And it's hard to say, hey, some of this is your fault as well.
Yeah.
And so I would just ask the listeners, if they are, you know, if they're beneficiaries to the hospital, if they schedule an appointment, please come.
Okay. No, that's a great note. And I can imagine if you're already down to 6 out of 12 and you lose one because of no-shows screwing up the scheduling, I can see why that would be difficult to accommodate. Captain Scott Kuhn, he is the commanding officer of Naval Hospital Pensacola. Captain, thank you for the time this morning. Thanks for doing what you do to take care of our service members and our retirees, and for teaching us about another military command here in Pensacola that oversees a network of facilities across 5 states. And who knew, right? So thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.